The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Best Of Podcast.
Welcome back. I've heard a couple of people mention this, the fact that talking about Brandon Miller bringing bringing the gun. I realize this is confusing here, but Miles texted Miller asking to bring the gun. The gun belonged to Miles, and apparently what Miller did was he drove the car back, and then the gun was in the car. I realize that may not matter to some people, but that is the chain of command that occurred, according to the police detective. Jim is up next in Tuscaloosa.
Really interesting, is it not, Paul? In other words, does that mean that I assume and conclude from what you just said that means it was not Miller's gun?
It was not Miller's gun. I believe the gun was registered to Darius Miles.
Does that quite a bit changes the complex and the picture of this situation in my mind? Does it not yours?
Well, I think it does. Again, I am not proficient with Alabama law on the gun possession, but. He was, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is it was Miller. Jim, I think everyone knows that extremely bad judgment was used, but there's a difference between bad judgment and being an accessory to murder.
Well, I think that even more so kind of clear. Miller, I don't know how to say this. I would not conclude that Miller doing what his friend, a teammate, wanted him to bring his own, bring the gun of the friend to him, and perhaps Miller was. I mean, I can't believe Miller would do that if he thought he was going to use the gun to murder.
Yeah, I mean, you have to ask a couple of things. It's 1:30 at night. Miller had already been to the club. If you and I are out on the strip. And you leave, and I text you and say, "Bring my gun." You're not thinking you're probably bringing it so I can go to the range at 1:30 in the morning and work on my marksmanship. There has to be a reason for it.
I'm just saying, though, Paul, that perhaps he was, as his friend, teammate, Miles or whatever his name is, asked him to bring the gun. His own,
he asked him to bring his. Again, I don't. I think there's a lot we don't know. I mean, I think that's.
Well, let me just make this point.
Cliche,
Paul.
Of the year.
Let me make this point, if you will.
Please.
The point I'm making is simply that I'm not sure what I would do myself in that situation with my teammate friend, perhaps in trouble, mm-hmm. or whatever. And he says, "Hey, man, please bring my gun to me." And Miller knows nothing more than that. I don't think that Miller would have. I can't believe Miller would have brought the gun to him, knowing he was going to wind up murdering some girl, innocent girl. Now I want to say this, Paul. I really mean. You know, I get hot about some things, and I'm hot. I'm hot about that Dawn call. Look, she's got no business saying he ought to be. It's none of your damn business, Dawn, what he should be doing. You need to let this play out. I think the same thing goes for Dan Wetzel and everybody else is trying to make whatever they're making out of this or trying to make. It's not a good scene, no doubt. The picture doesn't look good, but they need to let it play out before judging. These people are judging. And I promise you this, Dawn, you judge, you will be judged according to how you judge. And that's God saying that, not me. That's the way I feel about it, Paul. Tell me what you think about what I just said.
Well, I'm very troubled. I think there has been a feeding frenzy in the media.
Thank you for saying that. I appreciate you saying that.
And I think that's what happens in a story like this.
I know. Because,
however, I thought, Wetzel was calmer than most. I mean, I don't know how much you've consumed.
I know, but that's still not the point. The point is he was out of line, in my opinion. And here's the thing, Paul. I want to say this, and you know this. We've been through this many years. There's tons of Bama haters, period. Not just football, basketball, baseball. They hate everything about Alabama. I think the Ohio call a while ago that you had to pin up and say and expose what an idiot he was making his claim. And then the same thing goes for that Dawn person from New Orleans or wherever, you know, Louisiana, not Alabama. She's a hater. Or not about a hater. I'm not going to judge her. But she was wanting Alabama to suffer. I'm talking about the team. The team doesn't need to suffer
that's
for
absurd.
This.
I mean, I mean, to me, Jim, it comes down to the question of judgment. Should he be on the team? Should he have paid a price? That's where this is.
Can you make that judgment?
Not with the information I have right now.
Amen. Exactly. Thank you, Paul. I'm a little bit of a lawyer myself, and I think I know what's going on. I mean, I know how to get to the point of things. You know that, and you do too. And I think together, we've done some things together, and I hope we've done something profitable and beneficial in my phone call to you, because you made some comments that I think people need to hear.
What is missing here is my question back to you. What would you like to know?
Nothing. I'd just like to see it play out in honesty. That's all. No cover-ups. But I've got no other questions.
But Jim,
I
mean, that part of this concerns me, though, because I...
What part?
I would
what
like
part?
To know what the university knew and when did they know it.
Well, sure. Hopefully that will come out if we can give it time.
Yeah, but it will come out, but it's not going to come out in time for this basketball season.
Well, I know this and you know this. There's been cover-ups all over America now, Paul. That's what all parts of America is a cover-up. It's a mass cover-up, and it's horrible. What can we do? No, I don't, except pray that God will change things. But that's all. We're living in a time like it, and you know that. Am I right or wrong? You know that.
Well, of course. You are correct about
that.
That's
the bottom line. What can you do? Except, pray about these situations. That's all I know to do. I have no answers. It's a troubled time, Paul. It's a troubled time, period, overall. Not just for this. Everything in America is troubled, highly troubled, and in bad jeopardy.
Well, I think we are at a very, but again, we're talking about a big conversation and then a smaller one here in regard to Alabama basketball, which seems pretty trite compared to everything
else.
Well,
you know and I know that there's a lot of Bama haters, and I just think
ask you this, the Bama, whether people hate Bama or not, has nothing to do with the judgment used by the, whether
know,
the judgment used by
get,
the university was
think,
correct
I don't
or
think
not.
Anybody has at this point has a right to do any judging.
Well, no,
other than what
I will disagree with you on that. I think we have every right to ask questions.
I didn't say that, Paul. Ask questions is not judging the situation. I mean, in other words, some of these people are making personal judgments like they're the judge and jury. And you know, you're innocent. Everybody's innocent in this country, hope until proven guilty.
Well,
that's what the law reads.
That's a phrase, correct. I mean, you're presumed innocent under the law, but we're not, the person we're talking about hasn't been charged with anything. So,
I've gone as far as I want to go with this. I made my points, and okay. That's all I know to say.
Okay, that's fair.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, again, I mean, what are we really talking about here? We already, let's not forget the facts. The facts are there are two people in jail. The facts are that, the facts according to a police detective, by the way. Let me make it clear, too. I do not want to sound like a defense attorney, but... Just because somebody gets on a witness stand and lays out, that is their version of the story, okay? Don't ever forget that in a courtroom, there are two sides to a story. I'm not saying what the guy said is incorrect. I have no earthly idea. I'm just simply stating that this is what we know to date. I assume, bad choice of words, but necessary to say assume, I assume the university knows more than we do. Now, whether that makes them right or wrong, I have no idea. I mean, I'm long past the point in my life to believing that the authority is right. William is next from Maryville.
Hello, Paul. How are you?
Hey, William.
You know, Paul, I want to start out by saying I don't know if Brandon Miller should be charged with a crime or not, because I don't know enough. I don't think anybody knows enough. Maybe the authorities do. Maybe they're for investigating. Couple thoughts, though. First of all, Jim's comment that this is all about Bama haters. I like Nate Oates. I think Nate Oates has run plays a great style of basketball and has conducted himself as a gentleman that I've seen him. And I have nothing against Nate Oates at all, even though I'm not an Alabama fan. I'm a Tennessee fan. So this is not Bama haters. Now, some of the Bama fans on social media have sort of equated this to returning somebody's cell phone. if Brandon Miller had pulled his car up to this scene and Darius Miles had reached in and gotten the gun and Brandon Miller had left after doing his errand, that would be a completely different dynamic, Paul. But the fact of the matter is, Brandon Miller stayed. He parked his car. I'm assuming he got out of his car because the windshield, I guess, took some bullets.
Right.
And there's just too much out
there
right now.
Let me throw a couple of things at you, because I'm trying to wonder, like, what. First of all, I said something incorrect a minute ago. Miles owned the gun. I have no earthly idea whether it was registered. That was
right.
Secondly, Miles probably
registry.
Also knew, and you helped me with this, he couldn't take the gun into the club. I don't know what could put you in some harm's way. So he left the gun in the car. So I don't know if this is how the university is looking at it, that all he did was drive away with a gun in the back of the car. But you can understand how somebody could spin that story.
Well, but the other question is supposedly, again, there's all kinds of, supposedly Brandon Miller said to, Darius Miles, there's a round in the chamber. If the gun had just been left in the back of the car, how would he know there was a round in the chamber if it was Darius Miles' gun who
Correct.
Left it in the back seat of his car?
Right.
I mean, that means he had to check the gun. He had to make sure there was a round in the chamber. He had to have some knowledge. I mean, other question is, what did Jaden Bradley, the other player,
yeah, exactly.
hear?
Nobody knows what this guy was doing.
Right. And what did he hear Darius Miles or this Mike Butch Buzz Davis say? And that all goes to what Brandon Miller knew or should have known. And, other people said, we don't know what was in his head. Well, what was going on around him? He must have gotten out of his car. Again, he was just not an errand boy. And, I just don't buy that you say, well, it was Miles' property and he was delivering his property as a friend. As a friend, he should have said, Miles, or should have said, Darius, I'm not bringing you your gun at 1:30 because you're going to get into some mischief and I don't want to be part of it. That's what a friend would do, Paul.
Well, you're 100% correct about that. That's what we would have done. I can't explain what these guys were thinking, assuming they were thinking at all, and I don't think they were thinking very well. Let's take a short break. We are coming back. Len Elmore in a few minutes, some more guests, including a visit to Columbia in about 45 minutes, and find out what's going on with Alabama's basketball team.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We're back. A couple of games coming up. Vandy and LSU. Vanderbilt on a roll lately. Ole Miss and Auburn. Auburn needs to and a losing streak. That is at 9 p.m. And there is some new information coming out that seems to corroborate what Carol Robinson told us yesterday, that the facts of the matter, as we know them, let me make sure that that's pointed out, seem to contradict a lot of the reactionary narrative. We'll try to clarify all of this as we move throughout the program, but there seem, as in any case, the pendulum shifts back and forth, and right now there seems to be some reason to think it's shifting back into at least some facsimile of an explanation of where Nados was trying to go yesterday at his press conference. Let's check in with Bubba, who is up next. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. Rather than wait for it to come out in court testimony yesterday, Nados had a chance before the Vanderbilt game to clarify. He was asked point blank if any other Alabama players were involved. His answer was, everyone's good to go. Now, he could have said,
yeah, but hey, Bubba, and everyone's good to go is not really a declarative statement. That's, I'm not defending Nate Oates. I mean, I think he is, he's got two responsibilities. He's got a responsibility to run this team and continue what he set out to do. He also has to make sure that he's not throwing anyone under the bus that unnecessarily, and he may have erred on that, but don't read too much into a statement like that.
Well, my wife has to ask you a question.
Okay.
She said, could it be that the police or the DA asked Nate Oates not to talk about it or do anything? Is that a possibility?
I think any of these are possibilities. What happens, first of all, I think here's the big concern I think you would have if you're Nate Oates. I mean, let's not forget, until this incident happened, Darius Miles was a team member. He got kicked off the team immediately. What do you do? I mean, I know a lot of people, and I'm sure you do too, who have been accused, who were on the periphery of something that happened, who maybe have been accused of something early in their life, and it's no matter what, whether no matter how the case ended up, it's very difficult to remove that stigma. In this case, we're talking about whether this matters or not. I don't know, but it is a factor. Arguably the best player in college basketball, who has an unlimited future ahead. Do you put this around his neck until the investigation clears itself out? In other words, does Nate Oates let everything out on day one? By the way, in addition to having one of my players currently in jail that we just kicked off the team and his friend, we have two other players who were involved in some way, shape, or fashion. That's a much bigger story on day one than it was. This is a big story today because it really the story involved a young lady being murdered, two people being arrested, and it seemed like that's where it stopped. But that's not where that's not exactly the truth. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Jeff is in New Jersey. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Good, good. Hey, I hear a lot of speculation and rumor going on, and obviously just a lot of people filling in the blanks of information that they don't have, which seems to be kind of human nature to do. But I wanted to start off with a couple of things here. There was a young woman that got killed here, Jamia Janae Davis, I believe is her name, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So we need to acknowledge that. She leaves behind a five-year-old son. But instead of, filling in the blanks for everybody or everybody filling in their own blanks, I think it's good advice that everybody just be patient, wait for the facts to come out, wait for, everybody to do their job. I mean, if the police and the DA are going to file charges, they probably would have filed charges. So I think that's something that people need to take in consideration, as well as perhaps, and again, this is just speculation on my part, maybe Brandon Miller was happy enough to, you know, get this handgun out of his car.
Yeah, if and Jeff, one more thing you have to remember. The DA, any district attorney is trying to make the best possible case. And I think the detective alluded to this yesterday. You need witnesses. Brandon Miller is a prime witness right now in
Correct.
Terms of the intent, not of his intent, but of Darius Miles' intent. So
Correct.
You don't know what went down between, I'm just speculating here because I don't know either, between Brandon Miller's attorney and the district attorney on, hey, listen, my guy is going to give up his former teammate in return for what?
Right. Very well could be. Very well could be. Again, you know, we just don't know what we don't know. But, you know, listen, I think back to, you know, Coach Saban's history at other schools. I believe it was Michigan State when he was there. He had somebody get in trouble. Musa Muhammad, I believe it was, you know, and he states it eloquently, you know, what do you want to just kick these guys out on the street? Just, you know, cut them off the team and then what, you know? These kids could have a future if they made a mistake and it
right.
was not with any kind of, you know, malfeasance or, you know, their state of mind wasn't to participate in something like this. I think that we owe these kids, you know, the benefit of the doubt. If it comes to light that they were participating more than, you know, we originally thought
by
or they
the
originally
way,
Jeff,
let
on.
Let me jump in here because there is some news which I've been alluding to. The attorneys for Brandon Miller have issued a statement. That clarifies some of this. It's essentially they are stating that when Miller arrived to pick up Darius Miles, I'm just reading here, and Miles and the individual, the individual with Mrs. Harris, apparently exchanged words without Brandon knowing, this is the attorney for Brandon Miller, without Brandon knowing any of this context, and as Brandon was already on the way to pick up Mr. Miles, Mr. Miles texted Brandon and asked him to bring his firearm. Brandon subsequently arrived at the scene to pick up Mr. Miles. Brandon never got out of his vehicle or interacted with anyone in Mr. Harris's party. He was never involved in a verbal altercation with Cedric Johnson or Mr. Davis. Brandon never touched the gun, was not involved in its exchange to Mr. Davis in any way, and never knew that illegal activity involving the gun would occur. He goes on to say one more thing, and this has been mentioned countless times. Brandon did not block the Jeep driven by Mr. Johnson. In fact, Brandon had already parked on Gray Street when the Jeep pulled up. The street was never blocked by Brandon's vehicle. So he goes on to say this. I apologize for coughing. Brandon has submitted to multiple interviews to assist law enforcement in further understanding the situation. He has volunteered to have his phone contents extracted as well, and that of the contents of his automobile. He will continue to cooperate as any citizen who has witnessed a serious incident. Brandon does not own a firearm and has never handled a firearm. Moreover, he had no knowledge of any intent to use any weapon. We'll take a short break, come back, your reaction, and more guests.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Happening here on this Wednesday afternoon. We'll head to Columbia South Carolina 30 minutes from now and get a report just hours before Alabama's game against South Carolina. We're joined by Len Elmore, and we're always delighted to talk to him, the great player and obviously someone who has played a significant role, not only as a broadcaster for so many years, but with his role with the Nike Commission. We're also going to, at the end of this conversation, ask him about the subject du jour today, and that's the Brandon Miller situation. Len, in addition to being a great basketball player, also has a Harvard Law degree and began his career as a prosecutor in New York City. Len, thank you very much. It's always great to have you here. And let's talk about the current changes going on. We all know Charlie Baker is about to come in. We think it changes certain aspects of the way the NCAA is going to operate. But from your perch, what do you see and what are your expectations of regime change finally with the NCAA?
Well, in the broadest sense, under a Baker administration, I would hope that they would change from the current reactive posture that has become totally dependent right now on a congressional intervention, a Hail Mary, an antitrust exemption. You know, as we heard previously, there's so many lawsuits out there, and the NCAA has had to react to them. Instead, going forward, they got to focus on reform now and try to send a message to Congress, to courts, to member institutions, to the conferences, that the new focus is on education, health, safety, and the well-being of students who are athletes. You know, the current actions that are demonstrated by spending outlandish money on coaches' salaries, facilities, and more, makes it so that the NCAA can't plead that, and their members can't plead that they're education focused and try to derail these lawsuits when their actions betray them. So, you know, our goal as the Knight Commission really is to try to mount moral suasion, try to bring awareness to, you know, these issues, and to try to uncover facts that support reform. So, you know, I would hope they certainly would listen to us, but more than anything else, make that change.
In terms of Charlie Baker, and I realize he hasn't started yet, but there seems to be optimism from people in the college space where there has been too much pessimism. Do you think that we are to a point where he can really matter, or are things so having spun out of control that it's going to take, you know, far more important entities than just a single man leading an organization?
Well, apparently it seems that because Charlie Baker, a Republican governor in what is considered a blue state in Massachusetts, and has a reputation for bringing disparate groups together, blue and red together, you know, the hope is that he can have contacts in Congress, and, you know, there are factions in Congress that are in favor of an antitrust exemption for the NCAA. There are others who aren't, but for the most part, you know, try to bring together a group that, you know, is going to take a strong look at providing some kind of help. Now, let's remember, Congress is not going to move probably unless there's some real sweeping reform that is out there. You know, we look at what we've recommended with regard to our care model, you know, taking and connecting, you know, athletics revenues with education, and to be able to be transparent, to have independent oversight, to do many of the things that are necessary to demonstrate real change in college sports. And I think it's going to be something significant like that the NCAA has to adopt before Congress is really going to, you know, try to put together some type of remedy against these deaths by a thousand cuts, which is what I call the lawsuits that are occurring daily.
We're chatting with Len Elmore. For those of you who go back with me, he was a great player coming out of New York City at the same high school as then Lou Alcindor. He went on to Maryland, where he was a phenomenal player, and then obviously later into the NBA. But I want to ask you about what happened after all this, when you went to law school at Harvard, became a prosecutor. And I bring all this to a case that I realize you're not involved with, and we're just watching. But we have a young man in Alabama. I'm sure you've seen him play. He's only one of the most coveted players in the country, and Brandon Miller, who has found himself in the middle of a dastardly situation with his former teammate and another person now sitting in jail. A lot of questions about this that I don't expect you to know the answers to, but just from a general standpoint, when you hear about stories like this, and they're unavoidable, although they're difficult to look at, what do you think about the evolution of the game and young people today who are not spending much time in college? They're basically going there for a cup of coffee so they can find their way in the NBA lottery.
Well, I think that's part of the sad story here, that, you know, not being really connected, and I don't know Brandon Miller's story on the campus of the University of Alabama, but not really being connected to the university community and being immersed in that culture of education, et cetera, and still being influenced, you know, by outside influences, certainly not thinking about your own future. It's not only a sad story, but it's equally galling. You know, it's related to guns in America, related to a culture where it seems like people still devalue and disregard human life. And, you know, to me, I understand that, you know, based upon what his attorneys have said, that he's not complicit in the actual crime that occurred. But, you know, why be in the car? Why even, how could they be accused of handling the weapon through text messages, et cetera? And I say that to ask, when you put it all together, what were you thinking the result would be just being in that car, knowing that someone had a weapon? You know, why aren't you thinking not only about obviously the consequences, but also thinking about your future? And that's the one thing that, you know, we need to work on with, you know, not only our young athletes who have developed significant platforms down the road to be able to have impact socially, but just as individuals, you know, whether you're athletes or not, we need to get to our folks and have them start to think about the consequences of their actions.
A lot of people are watching this story, Len, and I realize when you played in the 70s, it was a different world. But regardless of what his attorney said, and you understand that, I mean, there are two sides. You've been a prosecutor in court. There are two sides to every legal encounter. He's on the team. Nothing happened. Nate Oates yesterday, his coach, defended him. In the sense that wrong place, wrong time. Then he walked that back after a national outrage. Beyond the player, ultimately, you know, what's the responsibility of the school to determine, you know, whether he should or should not be a member of this team?
Well, again, Nate Oates' response is probably part and parcel with the problem, and that is there are no consequences even for not thinking. I'm not saying that, you know, he certainly from a legal standpoint, whether there's enough evidence to charge anybody with being accomplice to a particular incident. But just the idea that you're in the car in a situation that you know is not going to turn out right. You have to know that even at 18 or 19, you have that common sense. And so with that, you know, consequences have to be demonstrated. And in order to maybe save the young person from future instances where you get involved that become even more serious, you know, there have to be consequences on that side. There has to be some kind of discipline. You know, and I know coaches are loath to do that. Administrations, athletic departments are loath to do that because they think it'll, you know, I guess penalize them for the next recruit, for the next young man that they, you know, try to bring into their program. But nevertheless, I think at some point you got to stand on principle. And that's essentially what I see lacking here, a lack of principle. Yeah. If I were a parent, you definitely know that child would get punished and probably severely because, put it this way, I taught them better. I set up more principle in my program as a parent. And you know, obviously, coaches are substitute parents, and he should know better.
We'll leave it there. Len Elmore, thank you so much from the Knight Commission joining us on a various number of topics, including Brandon Miller. We'll head to Columbia, South Carolina in a few minutes to find out the latest from the Alabama basketball team, and we are coming back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify?
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We have some developing news here on the Brandon Miller situation. Greg Byrne just commenting for the first time on the College Game Day podcast, which, of course, is available. This is what he said.
He is in South Carolina with our team. He went through walkthrough today, and we expect him to play this evening. We found out some new facts yesterday. We found out some new facts today. Here's what we know. Brandon Miller was not there for the verbal altercation. Brandon was already on his way to pick up Darius when Darius texted him. Brandon never left his vehicle and was not involved in the collection of the weapon. The shooting occurred just seconds after Brandon arrived. Brandon has been fully cooperating witness and is not a suspect. Yesterday, we began to hear some new things from the hearing, and Coach Oates had just come out of practice and did not have the information from the hearing when he was talking with the media directly after practice. He did not handle that in a way that he should have. We've addressed that with him. So, and with that, Coach Oates only has so much information as well. Only law enforcement knows all the facts of the situation. The rest of us are still learning things. Given the gravity of the situation and out of respect for the judicial process, I'd urge everyone to defer to the facts provided by law enforcement rather than relying necessarily on social media or other snippets of information that lack context to form conclusions.
Greg Byrne, moments ago. I-Man is up next.
You know, Paul, yesterday I'd heard about this about an hour before your show came on with Doug Amos here in Montgomery. Then I heard your program and I called you early, and you read pretty much word for word what Doug had been reporting. Then I heard today, I just happened to turn it on when you and Doug were having a conversation, and now I'm hearing what I'm hearing today. I haven't Googled anything. I've listened to that little bit of information. We're in a world of public opinion, and we're also sitting here looking at a timeline that is dictated. This basketball season will continue on as is. And like you said, Nate Oates is a basketball coach. And for all practical purposes and everything that I've seen, he comes across as a great guy. He's a basketball coach. And he's caught up in this as much as the other people, to a point. But I find it hard to believe. Now, we are talking about college students in 2023. I find it hard to believe these guys are that dumb, that there's more to the story, and that's just the way it's going to be. There will be a basketball season. Alabama will continue on. University of Alabama is going to do as it is right now. And this is not an Alabama-Auburn-Tennessee call. I really have no – when it comes to rubber meeting the road and we're talking about real life, that's where I'm at. There's a girl in Birmingham that's dead for apparently no reason, and you made a key point a little while ago. Nate Oates had three basketball players involved in this at one point, and the court of public opinion is going to take a stance on this, and it's just not going to be favorable for the University of Alabama. In the big scheme of things, I don't think the University of Alabama cares what public opinion thinks, because we, as a society, We tend to know our role, and the higher-ups tend to take over and be in charge. Now, that's where the university is, and that's where we are as people. understanding things that you can only play the dumb card for so long. And like I said, 2023, these are college kids.
We're going to have to go to the break here. I apologize. Thanks for the call. Again, we'll get more reaction to what Greg Byrne said, but reciting what he said, they're just learning things right now or yesterday that they did not or were not aware of. One thing I think that's important to point out that Miller's attorney said unequivocally in his press release, there are video camera. There's video of all of this, which the Tuscaloosa police undoubtedly have gone through and everybody else is aware of. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.